The Genuine Country Original.
101.9 KTWB.
814. Good morning. It is the Chris and Doc Show.
Sky's still cloudy. Tuesday's going to be like that. Why you got to be like that? Mm-hmm. 60 for the high later on this afternoon. Chance of some rain pretty much all day.
I was just reading a thing about the tornadoes down in Oklahoma, and they're again looking at severe weather for, is it day, Sam Hill from the Red Cross here. Day three now this would be in a row?
Yeah.
Yep. And they said, the good news is it's going to miss us to the south. The bad news is it's going to be in the south.
Right.
So, again, the situation down there, who knows what's going to happen. But Sam Hill from the Red Cross, our guest this morning. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What is it like when you're, I know you haven't been in an exact situation like this, but you guys have procedures that you go through. When does the Red Cross mobilize in this situation? You guys have been up and running down there now for a couple days because of what happened Sunday.
Yeah.
How does this work?
Well, you know, we're all kind of weather nerds, so we're all watching the weather anyway. And, you know, we start getting ready when we know that there's weather on the way. And so even here in South Dakota, when we know that we have, you know, a tornado risk for the day and stuff, we're getting our volunteers on alert. People are getting ready for it. You know, we're redoing some inventory and things like that and looking at our plans to make sure we know what we're going to do, you know, after it hits. And so
I've even had conversations that you guys, as an organization nationwide and worldwide, you guys have it in place. I've talked to you at times just casually, hey, what are you doing? I'm heading to the chapter to pack an IRV because a hurricane is heading towards the East Coast, and in 3 days we may be deployed, so I'm going to go make sure that everything's packed and ready to go.
It's, you know, it's all preparedness. Everything we do is preparedness. We're like 90% preparedness and 10% response, you know, and if we're not prepared, our response doesn't work, and so it's so key, and that doesn't go just for the Red Cross. It goes for everybody, even you in your home. You have to be prepared for these things, and can't stress it enough that preparedness will save your life. And so we're always getting prepared. Once we get on scene, the mission is to get people away from the disaster area to get them to safety. You know, if you survived it, you know, don't get messed up being in the mess. And so trying to get people to safety, you know, the initial responses for folks to go look. The Red Cross is there to support everybody, to support search and rescue, to support the survivors of it. We've got shelters open. There's, you know, like you said, IRVs. There's 27 IRVs that are either on the ground or en route right now to more. And there's 10 more that are sitting on alert to head out. They've moved semi-trucks in and pre-positioned them to move in supplies, blankets and food and things like that. And so that's all that preparedness that goes on all year long that most people don't really, you know, they're not just really aware of.
They think you just show up, but there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Yeah, there is a lot of work. We've got fantastic volunteers that take the time to get trained to become disaster volunteers. So when something like this happens, they hit the ground and they're working. You know, there's no questions and stuff. So it's really important, you know, as far as getting prepared, you know, preparing your family for it. And, you know, like this situation, it's 3 o'clock, you're at work, your kids are at school, you know, and lots of people kind of, well, we're all going to go under the stairs. But if your kid's staying the night at a friend's house, you know, if you ran to the store and your kids are home alone, whatever it is, it's summertime, kids are going to be home alone this summer. And so getting your kids involved in how to build that disaster kit and knowing what to do when the sirens go off or when there's warnings, where to go after the disaster so that they can be found. I mean, so much trauma happens when people just can't find someone. You know, you live through something like that and then you spend the next 12 hours wondering where your kids are, your, you know, your husband or your wife or your mom, even your dog, you know. And so getting prepared, if you have pets, get your pets prepared, you know, take their crates downstairs and some extra dog food and a leash, things like that. So preparedness is so key. And then, you know, after things, these things happen, you know, you look at the folks right now on the news on in more and they have nothing, you know, they have sticks. It's just rubble. And, you know, and this is where Red Cross, you know, is noticed. And so we've got shelters open. We're feeding people, you know, toothbrushes, just hygiene items, clothes, shoes. You know, people's shoes get sucked right off of them. And we were one hurricane or tornado and the guy's hearing aids got plucked right out of his ears, you know, from the pressure. And so helping people to get those things back. Imagine being in that and you can't hear. And so getting people, you know, their medications and things like that. So that's what our volunteers are on the ground right now doing is supporting that quick response. We don't go dig through the rubble and stuff. We leave that to first responders.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we support them. But there's so much work to be done.
Well, and that's what one of the things I've learned from you over the years through the Red Cross is that, for instance, right now, today, or any day after a disaster, as you're going through that, say it's your neighborhood, it's you're a first responder, you're in the cleanup process, you're down there, you're at first light, you're looking for people, you're trying to get people safe, you're doing all this stuff. After 5 or 6 hours, you need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to hop in your car and run 30 miles away to the restaurant.
Right.
You turn around, and that's where the Red Cross is standing there with food and with mm-hmm. water, and I need to wash my face and get this dust out of my face.
Exactly.
That's what the Red Cross does every day, continuing. And these operations go on months and years.
And we're there for a long, long time. Yeah, yeah, for months, exactly. And we do. We stay there and we see those people through the disaster. And, you know, and it takes a long time. It's a lot of work. It's expensive, you know. It's not free to get everything there and to, you know, get volunteers on the ground, our equipment on the ground. And so, you know, if... you know, there's a couple of ways people can help. One is to get trained and become a volunteer, a disaster responder with the American Red Cross, and be ready to get feet on the ground when these things happen. The other thing is to donate money to help us do our responses, you know, and getting on a plane and, you know, on a few hours notice and flying to a disaster and living in a shelter for the next 3 weeks while you're working 16-hour days isn't mm-hmm. for everybody.
Right,
so
yeah.
It's super great if you can do it, but it's not for everybody. And so, you know, other people might be able to help, you know, financially, give financial contributions to support that response effort to, you know, purchase the food that we need to feed people, the toothbrushes, the blankets, the cots, you know, moving the trucks and things like that. You know, we have to fuel our vehicles and things. So that's where we, you know, hope that people can respond financially if they aren't able to respond as a volunteer.
And I know that just in the things that I've read and talking to you, that if you're in Oklahoma right now and you're down a side street trying to get your house together, chances are sometime in the next few hours or days, a Red Cross truck is going to just come by and go, do you need anything?
Yeah.
If you need anything. Mm-hmm. And they people like you've talked about, people use it as a way to kind of step away, talk to someone who's mm-hmm. not, who's removed from a little bit to say, okay, here's what's going on. You know, I was just over. It's a focal point for the people in that area too. They congregate, they commiserate, they
absolutely. They need to tell their story, mm-hmm. you know. And lots of times we find on disasters, sometimes when they sit down and talk to the Red Cross person, that's sometimes the first time they've really heard their story because they've been standing mm-hmm. out on the street going, "Did you hear this? Did you see that?" And I saw, you know, they're running through it. But mm-hmm. when you kind of sit down and you can see it come over them when they realize what they've kind of just been through. But, you know, we were doing a tour the other day with a fifth grade class and talking about the IRFs and stuff. And one of the teachers was in the flood, the Fargo flood up there in 97. And she has said, "I'll never forget my mom saying, 'The Red Cross truck is here. Go get our lunch.'" And her running out there every day to get the lunch off of the Red Cross truck while they were, mm-hmm. you know, trying to clean up their house and stuff. And she's crying, you know, talking about it. She's like, "I can't believe that still shakes me up, you know." But mm-hmm. it is something when you see that truck come around the corner and people, you can see the relief that they know that something as simple as their food today and their water, they don't have to worry about that. It's going to be given to them. It's free. They can just take a 15-minute break to sit down and eat a meal or to drink a bottle of water, you know, because people are... their work, there's so much work for them to do. And so,
well, it's just a little glimmer of normalcy, too. That,
yeah,
you know,
it is. It's
you're standing
so
in the rubble of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's actually there willing to take care of you a little bit.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it's something I think people that have ever gotten a meal off of a Red Cross serve, they don't forget.
Two easy ways to help, redcross.org
yep.
and the text. Redcross.org, a great place to go for information, too, mm-hmm. and links to the pages, all the other things that the Red Cross do as far as the keeping people together yep. and finding yep. info. But the easiest way to make a donation right now.
Easiest way is to text the word Red Cross to 90999. It'll do a $10 donation to the American Red Cross that provides a lot of services, that $10. You can go online and do it at redcross.org. You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS. You can go into your local chapter and make a contribution. So there's lots of ways for you to give. And another thing we want to mention, we've already gotten phone calls last night, people that know people and more, mm-hmm. and they're concerned because obviously you can't get a hold of them, phones are down. If you do have somebody that you want to check on, you can go to our website, safeandwell.org, and you can register yourself in our shelters there. We're encouraging our shelter residents to register themselves as Safe and Well. So if you have enough information, you'll be able to get in there and see that Bob Smith is safe at the shelter. You know, that's a lot of stress for people when they
sure.
don't know where
mm-hmm.
others are. And it's good for people in the shelter to know that somebody can find out where they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little lonely to know that people are worried about right. you and you don't know. They can't.
And you have no way to reach
you're okay.
them. Right.
Yeah. And so safeandwell.org is another place to go if you're concerned about someone. Try to leave phone lines open for emergency responders.
Text the word Red Cross, one word, mm-hmm. Red Cross to 90999. Sam Hill, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And thanks for working for the Red Cross.
Hey, thanks, Chris.